The time at 4 minutes past nine. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the show again this morning live, and Paul Ramo at the control panel where he is normally there. So, some scores from last night. The game that you heard with on Q92 from Dwayne Hasted and Terry Overlander back in the announcer's booth. Dawson defeated Canby 21-14. Lacaparo Valley defeated McRae 25-7. Mineota all over Lakeview 63-8. And Bold all over YME 45-0. That's a little surprising, but Upsala area, Swanville area, USA over KMS 20-14. Rothsay over Ortonville 40-12. Morris area in a squeaker way up north in East Grand Forks, 15-14. They scored a touchdown, Tony said, in 4 seconds left and went for two and got it, 15-14. So a good, fun ride back home for Morris area last night. West Central area defeated Benson 36-21. And Montevideo 44, doubled up Minnewaska 22. Well, Tony Smith's in the studio this morning, a smile on his face. Good job last night.
Yeah, it was an interesting night. Weather and field conditions. Actually, we went out to get warmed up about 6 o'clock, and the skies opened up again and rained and some wind. And but you know, it was a much needed victory for us. The group was thirsty for a win, and we had a good week of practice, got ourselves right, had some injuries, had to make a few changes here and there, but all in all, good night for us. Defensively, we were on point. I thought we did a lot of nice things. They assisted us a couple with some drops in the pass game, but we really held their running back to a very small number. So it was a good night for us.
Well, you mentioned it rained a couple times during the day, and then when you went out early at 6 o'clock, that field gets a little greasy when it's raining.
It was certainly greasy, and actually in the middle of the field to start the game wasn't too bad. Towards the south end zone, it was really starting to get muddy. And it made for some interesting conditions. And as far as footing goes, we had, I don't know, a couple, three guys slip and slide around a little bit. But that's part of the fun of it, right?
Oh, it's fun playing in the rain, too. I know, get your uniform dirty. So, yeah. Well, you did score 25 points, so let's go through the scoring.
Okay. So in the first quarter, actually, they took the we won the coin toss and deferred and kicked to them. And on, I believe, the third play from scrimmage, they fumbled, and we recovered it. And we were able to punch it in about six plays later. Davis Patzer hit Peyton Rademacher in the end zone to put us up 6-0. And we decided to go for two. We were on the south end zone, and kind of through some conversation thought, well, we'll stay away from kicking extra points. So we went for two and did not get it. And so at the end of the first quarter, it was 6-0. In the second quarter, after I believe a turnover again, we were able to put a drive together, and Caden Molden with a one-yard run to put us up 12-0. Again, we decided to go for two to get back to that 14. We were unsuccessful in that. And, you know, that's the gamble, I guess, when you go for two. It's you can start to points and get ahead of the game. But if you don't get them, then you start doing the math in your head, and they can get one. And then on the very next play from scrimmage for them, after the kickoff, their running back runs hard, no fear in him, ran 59 yards for a touchdown to make it 12-7. And we had gotten a turnover from them, had a few plays, punted. They punted it back to us after their series, and we were just planning to run out the clock. And unfortunately, a nice hit by their linebacker, caused a fumble. And so they had first and 10 at the 25-yard line with about a minute and a half to go in the half. But we turned them away and felt like going into the half, that was a big stand for us. So we got to halftime, talked to them a little bit about, you know, hey, what are some things that we can take a look at defensively? Keep doing what you're doing. Keep running to the ball. We came out in the second half, and there was in the third quarter, Davis Patzer hit Caden Molden with a 20-yard touchdown pass, beautiful throw and catch in the back of the end zone, and he just does a nice job of using that big body and those long arms. It just kind of floats right into his hand, and he made a nice catch on it and went for two, and we're unsuccessful. So now it's 18-7. And then there was some punting back and forth, and then in the fourth quarter, we had the ball, I believe, on our – they had punted to us. The wind was at their back. We got it down to maybe our 5 or 8 yard line, and we put a drive together. Capped it off, Landon Weber, who took a majority of those yards on that drive, had a 1 yard touchdown run. And then the extra point, because we were on the north end this time, we kicked the extra point, so it was 25-7. Offensively, Davis Patzer was 5 of 15 for 65 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Dylan Keimig had 2 catches for 32 yards. Peyton Rademacher had 1 catch for 12 yards and a touchdown, and Caden Molden had 2 receptions for 23 yards and a touchdown. On the ground, Landon Weber had 21 carries, 152 yards and a touchdown. TJ Mitchell had 16 carries for 77 yards. Caden Molden had 4 carries for 14. Peyton Rademacher had 1 carry for 1 yard. Dylan Keimig had 2 carries for 1 yard as well. So we maybe didn't excel very well in the pass game last night. It put some pressure on us, but we were really able to find, through kind of some guessing and testing, we were able to find some running lanes, and that went very well for us in the run game. Actually, we finished the night with 280 yards on the ground, I believe, if that math comes out right, or 255 yards or something. Offensively, you know, we were able to move the ball on the ground, and obviously the conditions weren't all that great to throw the ball. They had some drops, and we were unfortunate on a couple of those too. And like I said, to start with defensively, I thought we did a very nice job getting to the ball. We caused 5 turnovers last night, 3 interceptions and 2 fumbles. So that was encouraging. A stat that we like to chart is the turnover margin. And for the first time this year, actually for the second time this year, we were ahead in the turnover margin. And lo and behold, if those 2 times that we won the turnover battle, by golly, if we didn't win the games. So defensively, Davis Patzer had 2 assists and an interception. Caden Kessler had 3 tackles and 2 assists. TJ Mitchell had 7 tackles, 2 assists, and a sack. Tyler Earp had a tackle and assist. Peyton Rademacher had 2 tackles and an assist. One of the things that he did a nice job of last night was really setting the edge and not letting their running back get to the outside. So while he only had 2 tackles, he did a nice job of containing him. Tygan Allpress had 5 tackles and a interception. Landon Weber had 2 tackles and a half a sack. Caden Molden, we actually, through kind of the process of the week, had him playing some linebacker last night. So at 6'4 and 250 pounds, that's a pretty stout middle linebacker to sit in the middle there. He ended up with 5 tackles, 2 assists, and an interception. Brock Biernild had an assist and a fumble recovery. Blake Wells had an assist and had half a sack. Caden Molden, who has played defensive line from as long as I can remember, we actually got him as some linebacker too last night. Throughout the course of the week, with some injuries and what have you, and thought, you know what, we need to keep some depth there. We have quite a few defensive linemen, so he ended up with 2 tackles, 2 assists, and a fumble recovery.
That was Caden Mortensen.
Sorry.
Okay.
And then Drew Borstedt had a tackle and an assist. So okay. I think offensively for them, they were 4 of 26 throwing the ball. So some of that was our pressure, some of that was the conditions, and some of that was just some drops for them. But, you know, I told them after the game, you know, the coaching staff was excited for the guys. We know that looking forward here, you get to pass to that last half point of the season, then you start to look to position in the postseason. And obviously this district is extremely difficult, so you set yourself up for, hey, where can we get ourselves? Can we get a 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, 6? I mean, where do you fit in? And so for us last night, that was an important win. That could set us up into the 6 seed. And who knows how the rest of the last 2 weeks play out, five or six, but we'll take one of those two and see where we end up going. But that was a big one for us last night.
Yeah. Kind of a weird schedule now than the last to finish out the regular season with a couple games during the week because of playoffs coming up as well. So. I guess you can't do much about that, but other than mentally prepare for these games.
Yeah, you get to this point in the season, you'd like to think that you know you don't need the 2.5 hour practices. You can kind of do maybe more some film study. You can do some more walkthrough stuff. Obviously, there's things that you need to do practice wise, but you get to this point in the season, and you're right. This week, this upcoming week, we go. To Mineota, which on a short week or on a regular week is a difficult opponent anyway. But, you know, you shorten it up a day. It's a 1 day less of prep time. And they do so many things that you have to try to prepare for. So we'll take a look at it and see if there's a couple of things that we can take away. And then offensively, see if there's a couple of things that we can exploit. And we'll go from there. Yeah, so we got Thursday night this coming week, and then the following Tuesday night to end the regular season. As we say, once we get into the season, it's just these 8 weeks go in a flash.
Yeah. Well, Tuesday is because of Education Minnesota Week. People call it MEA, but it's Education Minnesota.
Yep.
And then playoffs start, which would be a week from that on the following Tuesday.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Yep.
So.
Yeah, we were excited about last night, got the win.
Yep.
Now it's get through today and start preparing for Mineota on Thursday night.
Good. Your other teams in football?
This week the JV played at home on Monday night, and it was hot, and it didn't go our way. I believe the score was 8-8 at halftime, and they ended up losing 28-8 against Canby. And then the junior high went down to Canby on Tuesday, and they only have 14 kids out in their junior high program, so they had kind of a combination team And so our seventh graders played the first half and our eighth graders played the second half. And I believe both groups, if you want to win or loss, but they ended up losing both of those halves. So, but more experiences, kids are they're healthy in the junior high, so we don't have a bunch of walking wounded out there. They're learning and having some fun with it. This coming week now, on Monday, the JV goes to McRae, and then on Tuesday, the junior high has their, and actually that's the JV's last game is on Monday night. And then on Tuesday, the junior high hosts McRae. They have two games left, so the one on Tuesday and then the one the following Tuesday. So, yeah, some football left.
Yeah, that's right, and you do have pretty good numbers in those lower grades, so which helps.
Yeah, and, you know, we started something, well, we've been doing Saturday mornings with the youth stuff. This year we added some Tuesday nights, and so kindergarten through sixth grade, I think the final number ended up being like 73 kids out. And so it's, that's been great. Had a lot of positive feedback from parents, the kids, I have to chuckle, being obviously in Madison at the elementary school. One day there was a kid, a student that had a sign up if you want to be in the homework club. And so there was a bunch of kids that signed up, and here were the rules. You know, you had three assignments in a month that you had to do for homework. And so it kind of took off, and it's on social media, and Adam Conroy has a picture of it, and I think it's going to be in the paper. And well, about 2 days later, I went on another locker in the fourth grade level, who's going to be in the football club? And so now we've got a bunch of these clubs that are going through. One's baseball, another one's reading. So I mean, it's fun. It's all, you know, it's positives for the community, positive for the school, and so yeah, the numbers have been great, and we hope to continue to keep that up.
Okay, well, thanks for the report this morning.
You bet.
Savor that win and. Keep working hard, and who knows what's going to happen next week and the following week. And I know your kids play hard for the coaching staff. So thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Tony Smith on football. Probably get on the phone and get a hold of John Sherb and talk cross country after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. One of the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, Swenson Orchard Apples, $2 a pound, various varieties available. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Inquist Auctioneering and Real Estate announced the Jerry Berg Estate Auction. It's an online-only sale underway now, continuing through Thursday, October 12th.
Special viewing Monday, October 9th, 2 to 5 at 412 Hunters Ridge Road, Brookings, South Dakota. On sale, a 2005 Ford Thunderbird Convertible, 50th Anniversary Edition, Harley-Davidson Sportster Motorcycle, and much, much more. Register and bid at ZiemerAuctions.com. That's Z-I-E-M-E-R Auctions.com. And check Facebook, Engquist Auctioneering, for updates on this sale. That's an online-only sale, the Jerry Berg Estate Auction, now through Thursday, October 12th. Get your bids in today.
Vengeance is coming. Terror at every turn. In a new breed of haunted house. American Monsters. Onion Head's Revenge. Only at Mall of America.
Fear is here.
See mallofamerica.com/American Monsters if you dare. Not for anyone with health concerns or under 10. But you.
You're mine.
Here at the station, talking cross-country with John Sherb. He's actually practicing today, and rather than running, they're in the pool. So that's a good job, getting all those kids in the swimming pool and working out. And everybody knows that anybody that does a lot of swimming is in very good shape. So let's hear about your week, John.
Yeah, we went last Saturday. We were up at Grand Forks. Right. You know, that's kind of taken over from Alaska, and so we got that as our annual thing going up there. And it was really, really a good meet for us to get in. Kind of, it was a change of atmosphere, and I thought the kids handled it really well. It got hot and sticky by the afternoon up there. It started out really foggy, and then got nice, and then it got really hot and sticky up there in the afternoon. But it was fun. I think the size of the meet doubled from last year. This year, I think there was over 2,000 kids in the races. So they made some nice. Last year, they were about that 1,200 area. So they jumped it up nicely. So it was a good run for us to kind of find where we're at in the splitting and going. Seventh grade girls. We just had Talia Hersham was in there. She was 29th at 13:40. Ran 3K. She ran well. I think she was a little bit nervous being the only girl in the race for us. So she was kind of a little bit big eyes with the whole, all the teams and everything else, and a little nervous. But once she got in the race, she really made some big improvements in the second half of the race, which is good to see. Then in the seventh grade boys race, Matt Boffin was 20th, 11:49, and top 20 is T-shirts, and that's kind of the thing he was fighting. He was about 21, 24 most of the race, and then last 150 meters, he had to get on his horse and go, and he took off down the straightaway and caught a kid right at about 10 feet from the line to move from 21st to 20th, and so he ended up getting a shirt up there, and so he was tickled to get that, and then he ran it with 11:49. Eddie Felton was 116th at 15:20. Eighth grade girls, Tegan Conroy really came up big. It's probably one of her best races of the year that I've seen out of her. She really was into the race whole way, was top 20 the whole race, and then made a big stretch down the last half mile. She got herself and then sprinted down the straightaway, and she ended up getting 11th, which was really nice finish for her at 12:52. And then Aiden Bond was 85th at 16:16. In those two races, there was 97 runners in the 7th grade girls, 107 in the 8th grade girls, and then 140 in the boys 7th grade. So a lot of kids in that. JV girls, our top runner was Sadie Rosendahl. She was 124th at 25:32. Shea Botham finally started getting some things put together. She got her best race of the year so far, 132nd at 25:40. Micaiah Poos was 150th at 26:15. Grace Vosick was 152nd at 26:22. Alyssa Sawinski was 157th at 26:32. Abigail Alonzo was 200th at 28:27, and Madison Lee was 249 at 33:13. JV boys ran also the 5K like the JV girls did. Our top runner in there was Landon Keeman. He was 151st at 21:13. Brody Nelson came, I think, a minute and a half. I think he cut off his personal best for a 5K. He just got going, and Denver, I guess with all the people around him, made him just go, and he got 167th at 21:29. Charlie Will was next, 198th at 22 flat. Brendan Sherb was at 236 at 22:46. Blake Thompson was 252nd at 23 flat. Porter Peterson was 296th at 24:28. Hudson Keys, he was 301 at 24.35, and Baxter Colliff was 26.20 at 326th place. Varsity girls, we were in a Class A section, very, very deep section. There must have been, there must have been at least five teams or six teams ranked in the top in either North Dakota, South Dakota, or Minnesota. And so it was a good field for us to kind of see where, you know, again, what we can do. And we also put together, we changed our girls' lineup around a little bit just to see what we can do. Chloe Glegge ran, you know, one of her best runs. She finally got 121. She's been just, you know, really hadn't been run consistent. She ran probably one of her most consistent race of the year. She went 20:45. She finished 16th. She got herself in that area for us. She got a T-shirt also, so that was a great finish for her to go in there and to get that time lower. Then we brought her sister up to see what she could do on the varsity level up there, and I kind of have a notion. The kids know it's coming when I start bringing a seventh grader up at kind of the bigger ones. They can kind of fill in nicely, and she looked very, very comfortable. She was 56th at 22:36. Brooklyn Sterwood was right behind her at 75th at 22:50. Taylor Wood was 82nd at 23:02. Harper Grunholz was 104th at 23:42. Daytona Bissett was 117th at 24:13. And Reese Oxendorf was 140th at 24:58. Girls ended up finishing ninth, which I'm very pleased with the ninth place team that, you know, we've done there. The top three teams are really, really solid. The Milbank team we've seen a couple times now, they were third overall. And then Holly, who was ranked third in Class A, was second. So it was a good field for us. The boys going in, same thing. Really, really some good teams coming in from that North Dakota. Bowman, North Dakota, just traditionally has just been a mecca of distance running, and they've won so many titles in North Dakota and also nationally known. So you knew that was going to be another one in there. Gavin Carl was our top. He finished 20th, 17:11. Again, he found himself in that spot to get a shirt too. Kane Clark was 54th at 18:30. Eli Hagelin was 74th at 18:53. James Weber is 96th at 19:21. Joseph Felton was 119th at 19:57. Luke Stock was 144th at 20:26, and that's PR for him. Cade Solomon was 145th at 20:30. The boys finished 10th. Very happy with that. I think they're still finding themselves a little bit. I thought they had a little more comfort zone and ran well as a team, and that's what we're kind of trying to get them to move up a little closer with their spots. So, very, very good day up there. It's a long drive coming home. I think everybody got back about 9 o'clock or 9:30, so it wasn't too bad, but really good experience up there for those kids, and like I said, the young and old having that. Then we ran on Tuesday. We split squad because that was our third race from Thursday. We ran Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday, so that's a lot of races on the lake. So anybody that was nicked up or sore, we did not run them. We kept them home. So we basically went over there with a half a squad, and the other half stayed, and they got a good run, and they got a pool workout, loosened up, then I came over once I got done with the workout to see how they're doing, and Conover was taking care of them until I got there, so he did a good job with that. Junior high girls, really a nice feat. I did not get a chance to see it because I got there just started the varsity girls. Bryn Glegge won it, 10:05.29. Keegan Conroy was second at 10:05.44, so less than a second between those two.
Yeah.
And then Hersham was third at 11:05, so a really nice front side there. Aiden Bond was 10th at 12:36, and Celeste Jenkins was 11th at 13:03. 7th and 8th grade boys, Matt Bodden was 4th at 9:35. Eddie Felton was 27th at 12:03. Max Bothan was 25th at 11:52. Aaron Will was 28th at 12:08. Varsity girls, we put together a crew of five just to kind of so we could score it, and I thought we could balance it well. And Chloe Glegge was second overall, 21:51. Brooklyn Sterwood was sixth at 23:50. Daytona Bissett was eighth at 24:12. Grace Vosick was 14th at 25:30. And then Makai Poost was 19th at 26 flat. And the girls end up winning. They won the team. They won by 6 points over Princeburg for the team, so that was good to see them in there. They have a chance to score with this new bunch and see how they work together. And I thought they worked very well together. Varsity boys, we only had four on the varsity boys level. Gavin Carl was our top runner. He was third overall, 18:19. James Weber was ninth at 19:39. Luke Stock was 24th at 20:58. Landon Keeman was 27th at 21:19. We did not have a complete team, so we were not in the team scoring. Monty won the team scoring on that one. JV girls, Abigail Lonzo was third, 27-14. That was also for the 5K course. And Madison Lee was 12th at 35-49. JV boys, Charlie Little's fifth overall, 21-07. And Ben and Sherb was 10th at 23-42. So busy 6 days with the kids and getting them work out. And like I said, we got through it. We're just right now we're fighting the crud. The crud is kind of bouncing through the kids right now. So we're kind of getting kids back and forth on that. So we're trying to hopefully that will cut down. We won't have that hit us.
Okay. Next week?
Next week we run on Monday. Not a big fan of Monday events just because you never know what you're going to get off the weekend. You know, good weekend, bad week with the kids, you never know what you're going to get. Or they forgot their homework and the teacher chews them out for getting the homework, so you never know what you're going to get on a Monday. But we go to Benson on Monday. It's actually in Benson, not Kirkhoven. Now, we've been to Kirkhoven the last couple of years. Now it's back in Benson. So that'll be a 4:30 start. And they do have a changeover up there. They're actually going to lead off with varsity girls at 4:30 because it must be homecoming week for Kirkhoven. So they're going to get the varsity races out of the top side done. So it's going to go varsity races, then go JV, and then go junior high. So it's going to be kind of a flip around on that. But that'll start at 4:30 up at the Benson Golf Course.
Okay. That's it? Just the one event?
Yep, we're just one a week now, finally. Okay. We just kind of get our legs back and get ready for the stretch run.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck up in Benson, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Perfect. Sounds good.
That's John Sherb on Cross Country, and we'll be talking with volleyball coach Brooklyn Gold after this.
There are a few things going on around the area this weekend. Barn Dance will be from 7 to 10 at the Prairie Ballroom at the Red Barn, featuring the old-time and country music of Jerry and Joyce. That's tonight. On Sunday, drive-through meatball supper at the Watson Lutheran Church going on from 4:30 to 6 p.m. The cost is $12 per meal. Includes meatballs, real mashed potatoes, corn, cranberries, salad, bread, and lefse. The Oktoberfest scheduled at the Annunciation Catholic Church in Revillo Sunday has been postponed, and that'll be rescheduled at a later date. And, of course, in Madison, lots of Oktoberfest activities going on, including the car show, which is on from 10 to 2 out by Napa, ribbon cutting at Grand Park at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and a variety of other activities going on, too, during Oktoberfest. We'll be talking more about that.
It's American Surplus's large annual fall inventory reduction auction this Saturday, October 7th, starting at 9 o'clock. Be prepared to buy in two rings on this auction, 15-plus new, demo, and used ice castle fish houses, storage sheds, building supplies, lumber, fish house and RV doors, windows, plus a huge amount of tools, household and miscellaneous items. For photos and information, go to icecastlefh.com. Live online bidding at Mid-American Auction Company. That's American Surplus, large annual fall inventory reduction auction this Saturday, October 7th, 9 a.m. American Surplus, located East Highway 7, Montevideo.
Tickets are now on sale for the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce annual Super Raffle. Top prize is $2,000, second prize $1,000. There will be two $500 prizes, and then five $200 winners. So $5,000 in prize money to be given away. The drawing coming up Friday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. during Norsefest at the Madison VFW. And only 100 tickets will be sold. They're $100 each. Available at the Chamber office, the radio station building, downtown Madison, Minnesota. Get your Madison Area Chamber of Commerce Super Raffle ticket today. They sell out every year.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Paul Ramo here, and we're going to turn our attention to Lockup Arrow Valley Volleyball with head coach Brooklyn Gould. Good morning, Brooklyn.
Good morning, Paul.
I understand you're busy out at the high school today. You got some kind of tournament?
Yep, the junior high has a tournament. Well, we pretty much run everything.
Okay.
So my girls love me at 7 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, the varsity girls help out with judging, do they, and other things?
Yep, see-through varsity is expected to be here and help.
Okay. And who's your junior high coaches you have today?
So our 7th grade coach is Janelle Boyum, and then 8th grade is Molly Hennon, and our 7th grade has actually only lost one game this year so far. So
nice. Good.
Yeah.
How many teams are out there today?
There is seventh and eighth grade together, there is 12 teams.
Oh, nice. Good crowd then early this morning, huh?
Yes.
Volleyball never stops for you in the during the season, does it, Brooklyn?
No, it doesn't, but that's okay.
All right. Well, fill us in. You had a few matches this week.
Yep. So we had three matches this week, and we go and swing in next week with three as well. This week had its ups and downs for us. We played Benson on Monday, and we lost in four sets. That was a really hard game, I think, mentally for our girls, just because we kind of knew we were expected to win. And there was some girls, though, that really stepped up during that game, like Caitlin Kittleson. I kind of had a conversation with her and just like, hey, you know, like, I really want you to step up this game. And it was probably the first game that I saw her just doing amazing, over-the-top things. She was getting sets that I couldn't believe and throwing them back to a C-set, which was great. She actually had 18 digs against Benson, too, and that was their highest digs, and that's pretty good for a setter. Otherwise, Benson, Brandy had 14, and then Jalen had 10, so those were our top two leaders. Abby Omlin, she had 8 kills. That's huge for us because she's getting a lot of swings on the right side. Aces, Claire had 2. Abby had 3. Assist-wise, Caitlin had 28 that game. So we were doing good. I think we were doing, like, some new good things. Some girls were stepping up. But there's those conversations that I've started having with my girls is, you know, like, every single time that we're doing something with the ball, we should know where we want the ball to go. We're not just swinging to swing. We're not just passing to pass. We need to know that there's a plan. So we've really been working on that this week. And when we went into that McCray game, we lost in 3 sets, but we were starting to find that. We were being court aware on our side of the court and on their side of the court. So it was really nice to kind of see that coming together. You know, our scores were a little low, 12-25, 14-25, 15-25. But we were starting to find our flow, and that's the best I think I've seen them play as a team. And I told the girls, I was like, you know what, whenever you guys want to start kind of playing together and we're doing this together, I'd rather it be now, right before a section. You know, we can always work our way up. So against the McCray game, overall I thought we did pretty good. I mean, there was a couple things that, like the little mistakes, but McCray's a great team. You know, they went 5 sets with Mineota. Tori Brower, I know her, Therese Bourne, she was my head coach. So they're a very good team, but they stayed positive, and that's, you know, they were doing good things, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Against McCray, Claire had 12 digs, and then our next highest was Jalen Lee with 9, and then Brandy with 7. Kill-wise, Jalen led us with 7 kills, and then Brandy had 5 kills. Assist-wise, Caitlin had 10, Abby had 7. And then ace-wise, Jalen had 1. So, I mean, they're a little low, but when we're only scored probably a top of, like, 40 points through the 3 sets, those are going to be a little low. But it was really nice, though. Therese Bourne, she was my coach in high school, and she came up to me after the game, and she said, you guys have – she's like, the Lac La Parle team has changed so much, like, you guys are doing good things here. So it was nice to hear that. And I did tell our girls, too, just because we've been in a rut. You know, it's not hard to see. Everybody sees it. But our girls are starting to fight back. So it felt really good hearing that. And I think the girls really enjoyed hearing that, too.
That's good. Yeah, that's your alma mater, McCray, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. And she was pretty much like a second mom to me because, yeah, she's a great woman, great coach. So it was nice to hear those words from her.
Good.
Yeah, and then we played against Dawson last night. We went 5 sets. I'm still a little upset about it just because there were some really bad calls by the ref, but we'll let it go. We'll let it go. but overall, it was good. There was, like, in set one, we lost. In set three, we lost. We scored 18 in set one and then 15 in set three. In those games, we were just kind of – that's where the conversations I've had, like – you guys need to know where you want to swing the ball every time. You need to know who's in the back row and swing at them. Their setter plays back row, so swing at them. So those 2 sets, we kind of got away from it. But I told the girls, I was like, I've never been so okay with taking a loss because they came together. They were listening. They were strategizing as a team, and I left happy from the gym that night.
Good.
Dig-wise, Claire Borsett had 31 digs. I asked her to step up as a leader against Dawson, and she definitely did. Second highest digs, we had Jalen with 15, and then Caitlin Kittleton had 13, Jada had 14, and Brandy had 12. Hitting-wise, Jalen had 15 kills, Brandy had 12 kills, Abby had 6, Callie had 9, and Jada had 7. Assist-wise, Caitlin Kittleton had 34, Abby had 8, and then ace-wise, Caitlin Kittleton had 4, Abby had 3, and Claire and Brandy both had 1. I don't know. It's just we're kind of riding a roller coaster right now, but this week I've seen an uphill, and I think our mindsets have changed a lot, and I don't know. I'm just excited to see what next week brings and then going into sections, too, because the conference is kind of up and down everywhere right now.
Yep, that's right. What do you got for next week, Brooklyn?
So we play Wheaton on Monday, and that is our parent senior night. And then we play KMS and CMCS next week, and they're both away. I'm not sure which one's on Tuesday and which one's on Thursday. But
how did B Squad do this week? Do you know, or have that in your head?
Yep. So B Squad, they had a little rough game on Monday, but I think I just kind of had a talk with all of our girls, senior varsity, on Tuesday, just, you know, pick-me-up talk. And ever since then, we're doing good things, senior varsity-wise. You know, B-Squad and C-Squad came out and won against McCray on Tuesday, which is huge for us. And then Thursday, they also won as well. So we're seeing a climb, and the sky's the limit at this point.
Good. All right, Brooklyn. Good luck this coming week. Three matches, you said?
Three matches, yep.
Busy time of the year, and then sections right around the corner, I suppose.
Yep. It is crazy.
It is. All right, you're doing a great job. So,
okay.
Appreciate it, Brooklyn. Thanks for the report this morning.
Yep.
Brooklyn Gould, head coach of the Lac Parole Valley volleyball team. We'll take a commercial break. Come back with more of the Coaches Show after this.
October is Pork Month. Take a moment to thank your area pork producers for their contributions. The U.S. pork industry represents a significant added value to the agricultural economy, and they're a major contributor to the overall U.S. economy. In 2021, more than 66,000 U.S. pork producers marketed over 140 million hogs, valued at over $28 billion in gross cash receipts. The sales generated from hog marketings and pork processing support a total economic contribution of $35 billion in personal income and more than 610,000 jobs in the U.S. economy. This message brought to you by the Lac Parole County Pork Producers during October Pork Month. Madison's Oktoberfest activities continue today. There's a car show at Napa on East Highway 40 from 10 until 2 today. 3 o'clock this afternoon, the dedication and ribbon cutting of the Grand Park next to the Grand Theater will take place, with the Art Council having some popcorn and cider for you. Entertainment tonight at Madison Mercantile and a few other things happening. So come on over to Madison for Oktoberfest fun today.
Ludvigson Tile is proud to be a part of the local ag economy. Every year, we install over 100 water management systems made from quality Prinsco pipe for farmers all across our region. By managing water on fields, we help them maximize yields, decrease soil erosion, and grow healthier, more resilient crops. Ludvigson Tile is accepting projects for the spring and fall tiling seasons. Visit ludvigsontiling.com or give us a call today at 320-226-7022.
Back here at the Culture Show, we do not have a tennis report this morning. Dr. Hacker called and said they're on their way for a 2 o'clock match up in Morris. This is a section team competition, and I don't know how they were seeded, but if they were the higher seed, they still would not have played at Lac Parole because of the condition of the courts there for varsity tennis. So they're playing Morris. They were scheduled to play yesterday, but were kind of weathered out because of cold weather. So they're making it up today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So if you're in the Morris area, go watch some tennis. So, and we'll be talking with Dr. Hacker next Saturday morning on the Culture Show. So that concludes another show here at Lac Parole Valley Culture Show, and a couple of Dick Newman sick jokes of the week.
Yeah.
First off, It's weird being the same age as old people. And when I was a kid, I wanted to be older. But this is not what I expected. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dick. And we're going to head right on over to the car show here in Madison going on a beautiful Saturday morning. And Maynard, what's happening out there?
Well, I'm out here looking around at the beautiful cars that are on display. We've got quite a few that have rolled in. The show gets underway at 10 o'clock, so people have been registering here right and left. So if you have a vintage car you would like to enter in there, or truck, bring it on out here today, and we'd be glad to get you into the show. There's no charge to enter a vehicle, so come on out for that. And even if you just don't have a vehicle and you just want to take a look around and do a little socializing, it's a great place to be. Also, the Madison Kiwanis Club has lunch available. I think you're charging $6 for a barbecue, a bar, chips, and a beverage. So you can come out and have the barbecue, have a lunch, and look around out here. Of course, other things going on during Oktoberfest here in Madison. We've got the ribbon cutting and dedication for Grand Park next to the theater. That'll be at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And we're going to have some coffee, or rather cider, and what else we have? Popcorn for you out there. Grand Theater popcorn, that'll be handed out. And you can get in on the dedication and meet the artist, Jackie Rosenbusch, who's going to be out there with us at the park. Again, that's at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Also, Madison Mercantile has some entertainment for you tonight. And there's round-the-town rummage sales going on. A lot of people are rummaging and having some good sales. They started maybe Thursday, and some of those are continuing through today. So you can check the map in the Western Guard this week, or we have those maps available on the counter at Q92. Or you can go on the Western Guard, Madison Chamber, or Q92 Facebook page, find that map there. See the sale locations of those rummage sales, many of those continuing here this morning, some into this afternoon. So lots going on in Madison for Oktoberfest. We invite you to come on out. Again, the car show out here at Napa, East Highway 40. That's going on from 10 until 2 o'clock. And we've got some beautiful cars and trucks out here right now, so come on out and take a look. And Paul, with that, we'll turn it back over to you.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. One of the specials this week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, Swenson Orchard Apples, $2 a pound, various varieties available. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. Great music for Gary, Clear Lake, and Millbank, South Dakota on Q92 KLQP FM.